This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Hey guys, it's Damon from the PureCast. The New Japan PureCast is proudly sponsored by GaijinCollectibles.com, your number one source for Japanese wrestling merchandise shipped straight from Japan to your mailbox. Check out their selection of in-stock merch like t-shirts, action figures, magazines, trading cards, or use their purchasing service to order items from Japanese websites like the New Japan Shop. Like them on Facebook, follow them on Twitter, GaijinCollectibles.com.
All right, everyone, welcome to this week's edition of the New Japan PuroCast, your weekly audio source for all things in the world of New Japan Pro Wrestling. My name is Colin Miller, being joined alongside, as always, by Mr. Damon McDonald. And at the time that we are recording this, it is Sunday, March 26th. And you know what that means? We are on the road to Sakura Genesis. Damon and I just got done watching the Road 2 show that took place earlier this morning, live from Corrigan Hall. We're going to give a full review of that. We're going to talk a little bit about the final of the New Japan Cup that took place last Monday, and just lots more miscellaneous news and notes in the world of New Japan Pro Wrestling as we head to Genesis in April.
Genesis in April. Wow. Feels like I'm in 1984. You know, there's a car called Genesis now, too?
Is there?
Yeah. It's a Hyundai. It's like their sport line. Not their sport line. Their luxury line. So you know how, like, Toyota has Lexus? Well, I don't know. Well, listen, I know how I know this, but yeah, there is. How's that for a meaningless fun fact, kids, to start off this New Japan podcast?
Riveting, Damon.
It is. People are just glued to their portable media devices, just waiting for a hot take on the new luxury line from Hyundai. what a day, Colin. What a day for pro wrestling.
It certainly has been, and I thought that we'd start off today's fine podcast by talking about the final match of last Monday's New Japan Cup. Of course, I'm talking about Katsuyori Shibata versus Bad Luck Fale. And it feels like we've said time and time again that Bad Luck Fale is the type of guy who has to be placed with the right opponent in order to have a compelling match. You know, he has to be placed with a Hiroshi Tanahashi, a Kazuchika Okada, or Katsuyori Shibata. I thought that this was one of Bad Luck Fale's better matches that he has had. Certainly his best match this year.
Yeah, by a long shot. I mean, I don't think there's any question about that. Yeah, I mean, listen, Fale is Fale. And, you know, the big man went out, had himself a solid match. I don't think it was the greatest match I've ever seen in my life. But, yeah, for the scale of zero to Fale greatness, I would put it somewhere in. I want to say it was his best, but we haven't seen something this good in a long time from him. Right? And I can say that I enjoyed the match. I thought it was good. I thought that the New Japan Cup as a whole was good, solid, strong.
I think that the New Japan Cup as a whole this year was quite underwhelming.
Okay. Right.
Compared to last year?
Listen, there were a lot of good matches that you had here. You had your Ishii and Sonata, and you had Ishii and Omega. I think, listen, you had a lot that you could take from it.
You had Ishii.
Yeah. I think Sonata had a good one, too. I think it's Sonata has a good one. And again, we're rehashing. See, it feels like we're rehashing old topics here and old sticking points. But Yeah, the first round, you're dumping out a lot of talent just to get over some new fresh faces.
I will say this. I didn't mean to cut you off there, but I do agree with the decision to have Shibata go to the finals and win, because, I mean, that right there is a sumo hall caliber main event. Okada versus Shibata. I'm pretty pumped up for that. I do question, however, the idea of having Fale go to the finals. And I understand the idea behind it. I understand the idea of having Shibata have to go through a big monster in order to make his way to Okada. But I still think there would have been no harm in having Evil win his block, go to the finals, and then we would have had, I mean, Evil versus Shibata, that would have been a final that we could potentially have been talking about in match of the year top.
Well, I mean, I don't know if I would go that far, but I think it would be I think the possibility might be a better match than what we saw. And again, I think Fale and Shibata was good. Don't get me wrong.
It was solid.
The one thing though that I do question, and again, I agree with your point of yes, Fale, the big gatekeeper, the big monster, you had to fight your way and chop your way through. And again, Shibata had a bunch of different style of matches that he had to persevere to get to the finals and win the finals. And that's a strong storyline. Sure. But again, to me, it's strange in the sense of we want to get new guys over. And we have a lot of guys that are established that pop out in the first round. But at the end of the day, it's Shibata who I don't think you're necessarily making a new star with Shibata. This is not like a new star kind of thing. I think maybe a little bit more of an elevation against a guy who, let's not forget this guy's, Fale has been top of the food chain a couple of years back, mind you, but he still was a major player and a big hoss for the Bullet Club, right? So it's not like we made Fale a star, right? So I tend to agree with the sense of in the sense of having Evil in that position and losing is going to do him no harm, obviously, but having him in a final, I don't know, maybe that helps helps to cement his place as we move along in the year. For me, that would have made a little bit more sense.
And if they were going for match quality, in my opinion, Evil versus Shibata was the final to do. But again, I can see where they're going. They wanted to have Shibata have to go through the big giant monster in order to challenge Okada, and I'm fine with it at the end of the day.
Yeah, yeah. When it's all said and done, it got us to where we needed to be for Shibata to lose to Okada coming up here. That's where we need to go.
Well, I have a funny feeling about that match, actually, but we'll get into that later.
All right, we'll get into that later. I will say this, that after this Row 2 show, I'm less excited for Okada Shibata.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I was going just the opposite route.
Really? Yeah. I think a full disclaimer needs to be had here. I'm miserable today.
To say the least.
Oh my God, this you should have heard.
Let me tell you, folks.
Ready to kill himself.
I was fashioning my noose here in the PuroCast studios.
From Hangman Page, were you?
Yes.
Look, all right, whatever. I'm just miserable.
We have Surly Damon in the house today, folks.
Yeah, we do. My bad. I'll see if I can chip her up a little bit. What were we talking about, Colin?
Well, we were talking about
How excited I am. Yeah, yeah. I don't know. There was something about at the end. I turned it off, and I was like, "All right, well, that was that." I didn't find the interactions in their tag match super exciting.
I thought they were great.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Not for nothing. People just don't pay attention to a fucking word I say. because the Lord and Savior himself could come down and sit in my office and give me the meaning of life, and I would probably roll my eyes and fucking hand wave him today. I'd be like, all right, whatever.
You know what I really liked?
You and your robes, your long hair, you got a haircut.
Your sandals.
Yeah, heavy.
You know what I really liked?
Your sandals. Boy, I hate sandals. All right, good.
I'm not a big sandal fan either, but
I stink. I hate them. Never look good. You can't. What do you wear them with?
Socks.
Grandpa Miller.
Like Eugene from Hey Arnold. Anyway, yeah, you wouldn't get that.
No,
anyway,
only Arnold I know. He works at a fucking diner in the middle of Milwaukee.
Moving along to this Road to Sakura Genesis show, Damon. Mm. So they did the pre-show vignette, and I loved how they went all the way back to February of 2014, and they showed highlights of that Okada versus Goto match, one of my favorite matches of 2014, by the way, and I loved how they showed the interactions between Shibata and Okada, the stare down after that match. I think that was a smart decision because I think a lot of people kind of forgot that that happened, and it makes it feel like this match is 3 years in the making now.
Yeah, they are the best at that, aren't they? Using those, you know, having those little nuggets in the vault that they timestamp, and somebody's looking through a binder, you know, trying to dig through the archives to find something that's relevant to continue the story. They're good at that. They always do those nice vignettes. They always do those nice videos, man. They are the best at that. And again, we always say that there's always payoffs for the fan who's stuck it out, you know, the fan who invests his time and effort in the product. They always get little nuggets that pay off, and that was one of them. Yeah, I did enjoy that as well.
So let's kick it off here with the first match from this Road 2 show, Tomoyuki Oka versus Bad Luck Fale. Damon, this match was an absolute dud. This was just...
What? No! Okay, go ahead. I understand why what you're going to say, but I'm going to let you say it, but I'm going to give you a flip of the coin. Go ahead, go.
Okay, well, this match clocked in at about a minute and 14 seconds.
Yay! That's great. Fucking awesome. A minute and 14 seconds. Perfect. Next, go ahead.
Tomoyuki Oka, you know, he got a little bit of offense in. He got some forearms in, and before you know it, Fale hits the grenade, 1-2-3, and he's on his way back to the showers.
Didn't even fucking break a sweat. He didn't showers. He's just getting changed. He didn't even break a sweat. He might put on an extra slab of deodorant, you know, freshen up a little bit for the ladies. But, no, that's perfect. You got a young lion, right, against, again, as we called him earlier, the monster.
A monster who is pissed off.
Yeah, that he's even in the fucking ring with this J-Brone, right?
He goes from being in the finals of the New Japan Cup to opening up on a Road 2 show against some young lion.
Yeah, and he squashed him as he should, like a bug. But loved it. Because trust me, when it was a minute and 30 seconds in, Colin, I was like, you know, Fale should really... And then grenade! On 1-2-3. Colin, I'll go so far as to say I applauded that booking decision. I applauded the way that match was laid out because it was done exactly the way it should have been. There is no way that young lion should have gotten any more offense than he already did. And Fale just again, squashed him like a bug.
And I agree. I agree. I just personally, if it were up to me, I would have rather have seen a young lion versus young lion match. Oka versus Hanare. I'll take that again.
Well, you're not going to get... Well, I would take Hanare, but unfortunately... I haven't heard anything new about Hanare, by the way, guys. I haven't heard if it was a break, a tear, a sprain, a strain. I don't know. So that's Hanare for you. No, Colin, because here's the thing. Would it have made more sense, and would it have been more of a learning opportunity for any young lion to be in the ring with anyone else? Of course, absolutely, 100%. But sometimes, you know, you just need these guys to be, you know,
to get the shit beat out of them.
Did you get, and again, it wasn't like it was like a brutalization. It wasn't like he was in there with, you know, Suzuki, where he was just getting, you know, tore up like hamburger meat.
But he got squashed.
He got squashed, as he should have. Absolutely. No fucking doubt about it. And again, it's just the, you know, Foley. This is not something where Foley gets his win back. That's not what this was. And it was a harmless 1 minute in out. Remember, Foley's a monster, kills the young lion. We're off to the races and we're off to match number two. I had zero problem with it, and I think it was perfect for what it was.
Next match, we saw a six-man tag featuring the teams of Jushin Thunder Liger, Tiger Mask, and Kawato taking on Izuka, El Desperado, and Taka Michinoku. And the main theme of this match was Suzuki-gun just getting the better of the young lion, Kawato, getting the heat on him, working him over until Kawato makes the hot tag to Tiger Mask. And eventually, El Desperado picks up the win for his team, getting the pin on the young lion.
What did you think of this match?
I thought it was fine for what it was.
I thought this match was the best. Dare I say, I enjoyed this. Maybe it wasn't the best match of the show. I enjoyed this match the most.
Really?
Colin, I thought this match was tremendous. I thought this match was so well done. Exactly.
Wow. We really are on opposite sides of the coin today.
You didn't like this match?
I thought it was fine.
Oh, Colin, I'm going to actually get on my hands and knees and beg of you to watch this match again.
I thought the next match was better, but okay. No, look, if you're that passionate about it, I'll go back and give it a rewatch.
I really think this match was really, really strong. Again, you're right. It was, you know, Tiger Mask. First of all, let's go over who's in this match. It was Kawato?
Yes, Kawato.
Liger, Tiger Mask, and on the other side, the C-level Suzuki goon, right? El Desperado. Was it Taka in there?
Yep.
And what was it? Was it Izuka? Okay, so on paper, this has every. There's no reason this match should be even remotely good. And in fact, I would guess that unless you're a hardcore or you do a New Japan podcast, that nobody listens to because everyone listens to us. there's no reason to watch this match, right?
Yeah.
On paper, right? Sure. Looking at that six-man lineup, you're looking at that and like, okay, that's a skipperoo, right? I'm telling you, people, watch this match. So at first it's you know, okay, it's scary to open up in the sense that, all right, here we go. They pair up the brawn on the outside, but even that was okay, right? Even that was, you know, watchable. Liger getting pissed off and getting steamed and picking up chairs and ready to toss them into the crowd. Young Lion getting worked over the majority of the match, right? And he's got a lot of fire, and he's got a lot of, you know, he's got a lot of heart, and he's trying to fight, and he's getting screwed over by, you know, heel tactics, and Liger's getting frustrated, and Tiger Mask is getting frustrated, and it looks like it's going to go all downhill from there. Finally, hot tag. Here comes Liger into the ring. Here comes Tiger Mask, and they're working him over, and it looks like they're going to, you know, pull ahead and get a win. And you got the young lion Kawato begging, tag me in. I'll fucking finish this. Tag it in. And that sequence on, I thought was really great. Colin, there were a few kickouts there, and there were a few near falls there. And again, logically, you're looking at it like, there's no way the young lion is getting a win here. But you're looking at it, it's like, all right, that's Taka Michinoku, who's taking a lot of falls, right? And who, in the pecking order of New Japan, seems to be on a downward slope. There were moments where you're thinking, are they really going to give this fucking young guy a win right here?
There was one very close near fall. I can't remember if it was against Izuka, Desperado, or Taka Michinoku.
I think it was Desperado.
I think you're right. And I really believed for that split second that Kawato was going to steal one.
Right. And there was a couple of that. And I'm sitting there thinking, oh my God, I'm really into this match. I'm really fired up into this match. So then, and I couldn't even tell you what was hit, but... They hit a finisher on Kawato, And I mean, you're like, you kind of slump back in your chair and you're like, ah, that's that. And he fucking kicks out. And we're like, holy shit, here we go. And unfortunately, next move, boom, one, two, three. Colin, this, for me, this match had more, again, what do we always say? When you don't know who's going to win and there's some doubt in who's going to win, it does make a match 10 times better. And that's what this match had over just about any other match. Now, there was one match that was a finish that surprised me, right, because I didn't expect it, and it helped make the match even stronger in my eyes. Colin, this is right up there for match of the night. This is right up there with match of the night, and I would ask people, if you haven't watched it, watch it. If you have watched it, let me know what you thought, because like I said, I really thought this match was really well done, really strong, and one of my favorites of the night.
It was a C-level heel faction working over a young lion for 10 minutes.
Right. Okay.
Damon, I'm not going to go back and rewatch this match, nor would I recommend anyone do so.
You're missing out, man.
Okay.
I really think you're missing out. This match was a perfectly laid out match. Of course the young lion's going to get his ass kicked for he's a young lion. Again, but then Liger comes in. And again, the idea of him, you know, all right, listen, I'm going to make amends. I'm going to and the kickouts and the near falls and the false finishes. And nah, I thought it was a really good match, man. I really did. Again, this is not 12 stars.
It sounds like it's 7 stars the way you're talking about it. Jeez.
For what it is, I thought on paper, you look at that match again. That's an easy hand wave. That's an easy skip. Don't as the kids like to say nowadays, don't sleep on it. I got new pillows, by the way. Ugh, didn't have a comfortable sleep.
What brand are they?
Here's the thing. I have a bowling ball for a fucking head, apparently, because I can buy pillows that say, oh, it'll never go flat, never. 2 months later, they're like pancakes. I think they're Serta.
I was going to say, they're probably Serta.
Oh, what are you, a fucking pillow aficionado?
I am a pillow connoisseur.
Like, what should I have gotten?
No.
If you would have said my pillow, I'm gonna drive up there and stab you in the throat.
I do have a my pillow.
Do you really? Do you really have a my pillow?
I think that's the brand. It's that guy that guy developed it, and it's supposed to be the best pillow.
Yeah, I'm not spending $50 for a fucking pillow. Sorry.
Well, it was a gift. What can I say?
Let me ask you this: is it good? Here on Pillow Talk. Is it a good pillow?
that was an old movie, by the way. Back
pillow
in like
talk?
Yeah,
sounds like an old porn. Tracy Lords and Pillow Talk. Remember Tracy Lords? Oh yeah.
Yeah, no, I have a my pillow. It's fine.
What's it? What's the stuffing?
I'm not gonna get into this.
No, I need to know because I'll go out and buy a fucking my pillow. But if it's worth it, I need a. Is it, you're giving me a thumbs up on the MyPillow.
Thumbs up on the MyPillow. Maybe, actually, I might look into another sponsorship, perhaps, with MyPillow.
Well, we still haven't gotten Poopery yet.
we need to work on Poopery and MyPillow.
Seriously. I hear live reads for them all the time on sports radio, MyPillow.
Damon, I can't believe... No, go ahead. Well,
no, I was about to say, why don't you mail me your MyPillow, right? And let me try it. Let me try it for a week, and I'll mail it back.
I don't think that would be very sanitary, so I'm going to have to take a pass on that one.
I have a very clean head. All right, enough my pillow. We got to talk offline, though. My pillow.
All right.
Bunch of animals. All right, good.
Next match here that I enjoyed considerably more than the previous match, Hiroyoshi Tenzan, Satoshi Kojima, and Togi Makabe taking on a War Machine and David Finlay. Very happy to see War Machine back in the mix here in New Japan Pro Wrestling. I think they are a breath of much-needed fresh air in this heavyweight tag division. And I'm actually looking forward to their match against Tenkozy at Genesis, believe it or not. The match itself, I thought was pretty good. I'll tell you what, though. I'm looking at David Finlay, and I'm kind of puzzled. I'm a bit puzzled at David Finlay. You know, he comes out, you know, he's rocking the guy liner. He's got these leopard skin tights with the ransom note font that says Prince. He's got this dare I say doughy physique. What is he doing? What is he going for here? I
What's the look?
I'm just scratching my head. I guess he's just trying to find out. He's trying to discover who he is, I suppose.
Wow. Wow. Sounds like you in college.
Sounds like me now.
Right. Good point. I think, truth be told, I think he fit in really well with War Machine, right? I think the combination of the bearded folk, they all like some kind of street gang or something. Again, once again, the Warriors talk.
I love the interactions between War Machine and Tenkozy in this. Call me crazy, but man, I enjoyed it.
I think it was fine. I'm still kind of flabbergasted over the last your hand waving of the last match, to be honest with you. I'm still stuck on that a little bit. A little stuck on that.
I enjoy the tandem offense of War Machine. You know, I love their double teams. Like you said, I thought they worked very well with David Finlay in this match. And I'm not talking about David Finlay's ring work, by the way. I think he's fine. Right. I'm just scratching my head regarding his gimmick or lack thereof.
All right. Well, and again, you liked this match more than you liked the other match.
I really did.
Yeah, I got to go opposite. Definitely opposite.
I love War Machine and Tenkozy just bashing into each other, stiff clotheslines.
It was fine. I like War Machine a lot. I think the tag match will be good.
And I think it was a good decision to have Tenkozy go over here to kind of solidify themselves as, you know, the big dogs, you know, the champs. Because when you look at it on paper,
yeah,
Tenkozy is kind of like the underdog in the match going up against the big War Machine, the younger, you know, beefier, more agile War Machine when you look at it.
Yeah, well, Finlay took the fall, right?
Yep, Kojima gave him the big lariato, and that was it.
Right. Then they had the stare down at the end, which I always love that stare down. I want that belt. You can't have that belt. We'll see you in the ring,
pal. They should have done a tug of war.
It's just a weird spot to be in, I think, right now with these tag belts. It is different. These are new tag teams. In the mix, so to speak, with War Machine. Tenkozy been around forever, but a renewed interest in them. I think the injury to Honma played a large factor in them getting the titles.
Yeah, poor Honma.
Yeah, we'll get there in a second. If you want to get there now, we can. But
I think we should touch upon it.
It's heartbreaking. It's horrific. Unfortunately, the news with Honma. And again, this is from the Observer, last week's Observer, but that last line and that last paragraph, again, just for those who are unaware, Honma gave a message, you know, basically saying he'll be back more tan, more oiled up than ever. But he also mentions, and this is Honma, and again, I'm going to quote the quote here. Blah, 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 blah. He's talking about the actual DDT. Then little by little, things went black. Guess this is what it's like crossing the river Styx, I thought. That's when I heard a voice calling me. It was an enlightening experience, to say the least. I've been able to move my feet and hands quite a bit since then. But currently, I'm still paralyzed from the neck down. That's the direct quote from Honma. Currently, I'm still paralyzed from the neck down.
That's not good.
That is not good at all. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know how to even put into words how just, you know, it's been at least a month, right?
Yeah, at least.
That's not good. That's not good news at all.
I admire his combination of positivity and humor with, you know, reporting on the reality of things. Like, it sounds like he's oddly in good spirits considering the horrific circumstances.
It's weird. it's not weird. It's different in the sense of, you know, and again, I'm not sitting here claiming to be an expert on Japanese culture by any stretch of the imagination, but as a perfect example, like when he had this statement, he apologizes to the fans for having them worry, right? I have a friend, everybody knows Fumi from the Classic Board, and who I was with in Tokyo, and he was ill. He had the flu or something like that, you know, last year. And everybody's like, oh, get well, Fumi, you know, hang in there, you know, flu's terrible, blah, blah, blah. And the first thing he says is, you know, oh, I'm sorry to have everyone worry, or I'm sorry to have everyone be concerned about my well-being. And I think that's just a culture thing.
It's almost like he felt like he was being an inconvenience.
Exactly.
Because he was sick.
Yeah. And Holma, sorry, I can't move my legs, you know.
I feel so bad.
Yeah, right. You know, I'm making light of it, but still, it's like that's their disposition and mindset. So, yeah, it is kind of like a thing that, you know, he's trying to project a, you know, don't worry kind of attitude, and I'll be back, and this is just a setback. And but yeah, reading that line, you know, I had to put down the Observer, well, not put down, like turn my eyes away from my computer screen. Yeah, and really to be like, ooh, that's that one hit. That one hit hard. So that's that. And again, getting back to the original thought of, you know, that's where Tenzan and Kojima kind of got another run with the belts, surprising to most. And I think a lot of people think that maybe War Machine might take these belts.
I think they have to.
I don't know. I don't know if they have to. I would go so far as to say I wouldn't be surprised if Tenkozy successfully defends them. I just think it's I'm happy. Again, I've said it before, where injuries take place and people are able to fill shoes and step forth and step up and take advantage of an opportunity. And I think this is a good case of where that is. But on the flip side, it's like, oh, my God, fucking Honma, man. Oof, terrible, terrible, absolutely terrible news. I wish there was something we could do. And I don't know. I don't even know what you do. I even thought, like, I mean, maybe we set up like an email, like a Gmail account, and we just have people give well wishes, and then maybe we forward it over to somebody at New Japan. I mean, I don't know. Is that something that's, I don't know.
I think that's a good idea, actually. I mean, as, you know, minuscule as it sounds to do in the grand scheme of things, I think that things like that really do help fuel the human spirit, to know that there are all these people who are concerned about you and thinking about you and do want you to get better and get out of bed and move. So
yeah.
Damon, that's not a bad idea. We'll have to talk about that off the air a little bit.
Yeah, maybe we set up, like I said, a Gmail account. We give some people over there the password, you know, so they can log in at any time. They can see the messages, and then people can just, you know, because sometimes tweets, you can't really, you know, 140 characters, you can't really get what you want to convey across.
And they get lost in the shuffle a lot of times.
Right. So I think, you know, maybe an email account. I mean, I don't know if you can read English. I mean, who knows? But we'll figure it out. I think that might be a good thing. We set up a Gmail account. People can just quickly fire off some emails. And let him know that, you know, that he's still in our thoughts and prayers, if you're that type of person who believes in the power of prayer. Hey, whatever it takes, let's get this guy well and let him know that we're thinking of him. So maybe it's a good idea. We'll talk off air and we'll tweet it out and we'll go from there.
All right, another six-man tag coming up next, featuring the team of Hiroki Goto, Jado, and Ghetto taking on Minoru Suzuki, Kanemaru, and Taichi. I didn't think that this was a bad match. The Jado and Ghetto versus Kanemaru and Taichi, that does absolutely nothing for me. You know, it's,
me neither.
It's whatever at this point, but my biggest takeaway from this match is, man, I really can't wait for a Goto versus Suzuki singles match, perhaps in the G1 this summer.
I think we'll see something along. I look forward to seeing those brackets. That's really going to be the determining factor, obviously.
I've been giving that a lot of thought, by the way, that the G1 brackets.
Yeah? Like, in what way? Just possible matchups, or?
Well, possible matchups, and who are going to be the two leaders in each block. And, well, why don't I just go ahead and say it?
Say it.
I think that your A block, you're going to see the two big names in the A block are going to be Kazuchika Okada and Tetsuya Naito. And the B block, two big names are going to be Hiroshi Tanahashi and Kenny Omega.
Okay.
Because that is usually what they do. They have their big four, and they kind of separate them and have two of them headline each block.
Right. But being that we're on the G1, because honestly, G1 talk sounds a lot more fucking fun than this tag match, to be quite honest with you.
It sure does.
I'd rather talk about that. Who's in G1? Who makes G1? Is Juice in G1 this year?
I would hope so, but I don't think it's I don't think it's a sure thing.
I think it's a slam dunk. I would bet the house. I mean, listen, look at the pinfall victories that kid's getting.
Oh yeah, right? We're gonna talk about that in a little while.
Yeah, I mean, I think that
coming up.
I think he has to be in it, right? He may not go, you know, he's not gonna go, lossless. But he's got to be in it.
And this
right?
is what he's here for. I mean, you know, being in the G1.
His first year? Yeah. I mean, his first year, I mean, that's if he breaks 500, I'd be thrilled, you know, if he breaks 500. Sonata in?
Absolutely.
Okay, just making sure. Evil in, right?
For sure.
Fale in?
Yeah, unfortunately.
I mean, you know, listen, we spent a good strong 5 minutes talking about how much of a monster he is and remember how much of a fucking force he is, blah, 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 blah. He's got to be in it, right?
He has to be. You're right.
Okay. Takahashi. Yujiro.
Takahashi, I'm on the fence. He wasn't in last year, was he?
I don't believe so.
Yeah, I mean, Takahashi might. Actually, I'm going to throw out a name here. And I know it's going to infuriate you.
Cody. Fuck.
You know what my response to that is? I mean, somebody's got to open up the shows and have decent, solid matches.
Him?
That's what Cody does.
Does he?
Solid, you know, decent mm-hmm. matches. Mm-hmm. Yet there's this strange cult following behind him that I'll never understand, but that's a completely different topic for another podcast.
There's a very good possibility, right? There's a very good possibility. I hope not, but...
I hope not, too. I'm with you there.
I mean, listen, I can't say he's not going to. Who knows?
He could be Tanahashi, Damon, for all you know.
I'm fucking... jump out a window. All right. Tonga Loa.
I'm afraid so. We saw him in the New Japan Cup, but maybe his performance in the New Japan Cup will have deterred them from putting him in that position.
Adam Cole.
I think the writing is on the wall where Adam Cole, baby, is headed, and it's someplace that I'm going next weekend.
You might be right about that. I'll give you one more name. One more for our fun G1 talk, because we really don't feel like talking about that tag match. I mean, seriously. I mean, right? Nobody gives a shit.
It was okay. Kanemaru picks up the win over at Ghetto, and they're strong going into their IWGP Junior title matchup at Genesis next month.
Right. I mean, obviously Elgin's in, obviously Omega's in, obviously Okada's in,
Shibata's in,
Goto is in,
Ishii is in. How about Makabe? Is he in?
That's a good question.
How about,
yes.
Okay, you're saying yes for Makabe.
How about, Yuji Nagata?
Yeah, Yuji Nagata is definitely in. He can still go. We saw that.
A lot of spots.
We saw that on this. I know, a lot of spots.
So Cody Rhodes is in, you're saying?
I'm
who's
on the
fence. Who's not in? Let me ask you this. Who's not in?
Who's not in? Tenzan's not in.
Yeah, last year was supposedly his last one, right?
That was his swan song last year. I don't think Yujiro's in. I don't think they would throw a Hangman Page in there, do you?
Chase Owens, no.
No, Chase Owens. Right. You know, you'd be surprised. I've been reading a little online, you know, some tweets on Reddit. There's a lot of people who were excited for Chase Owens' return on this event.
I'm happy the guy got work. You know, I'll never be like, I'll question New Japan's decisions to bring guys in. I will do that. And if I feel like they're not a good fit, or if I feel like they can't cut the mustard, yeah, I'll be the first person to yell it from the rooftop. Sure. But, you know, in that same breath, listen, I want to see people work. I want to see people, you know, make a living at pro wrestling. So that's fine. Look, there's people that like everything. There's people that like different. Listen, you like Matt Hardy.
Yeah, we were talking about that off air. I love the whole broken Hardys thing.
I don't get it. I don't fucking understand it. I don't understand where what it means. It makes like it's just one of those things that I'll never get. I'll never fucking get it. I'll never get the fucking drone.
I might have to delete this segment from the podcast.
Why? Don't delete anything. I said, it's not for me. That's okay. There's people that don't like fucking, you know, junior heavyweights. There's people that don't like, you know, it's okay. I'm allowed to not like something.
There's people who don't like Zack Sabre Jr.
Yeah, absolutely. Man, that was a real high-pitched yep. I mean, different strokes, different folks. I don't know, it's fine.
One more G1 name before we move on and continue with this event.
All right.
Brace yourself, Damon.
Go ahead.
Kota Ibushi. And not Tiger Mask W. Nobody wants to see Tiger Mask W. Oh, I read a post. I don't know if it was on Reddit or Twitter. It infuriated me. Somebody really? Somebody wanted Kota Ibushi. They were making the argument that he should stay as Tiger Mask W.
No.
What? Why? So he can.
Well, he was at, I don't know what show it was. I should probably look it up. It might have been a DDT show. He was, you know, he's not obviously not W because W is a Tiger Mask is a New Japan thing, and look, I would rather see Kota. But no, I will say no. You don't see Kota Ibushi in G1. I will say no.
No Kota Ibushi.
No, okay. I will say no Kota Ibushi. I'll say no Kota Ibushi. All right, so we didn't. This match was fine, great, but we just don't feel like talking about it. Okay, great. Next.
Yeah, again, biggest takeaway, I want to see Goto versus Suzuki possibly in the G1. And we move on next. We have another six-man tag featuring the team of Ishii, Yano, and Beretta versus Kenny Omega, Yujiro Takahashi, and Chase Owens. Few observations here. Number one.
I know what you're going to say, first of all.
Okay, number one, we had...
That's shaming.
No. I wasn't even gonna go there. Actually,
really?
That's a
Colin. That's a Colin classic to go after Chase and his little paunch.
No, hey, I wasn't gonna say a word about that. I was gonna say that we got T-shirt Kenny Omega here tonight, and there are times when I'm watching what we call T-shirt Kenny Omega in the ring, and I find myself saying, you know what? I kind of get what Jim Cornette means now.
In what way?
In, like, this is bullshit.
Look, it's a Road to show. He's said in interviews.
He openly says it.
Yeah, he says these are bullshit shows. I'm in a bullshit six-man tag. I'm going to save and conserve myself for when it matters. He's even said that currently he's not at 100%, but who is? I agree with that statement 100%. If you're a pro wrestler, I don't think you're ever at 100%. You're at, okay, I'm at X percent enough to fucking do what I need to do.
What percent are you at, Damon?
Oh, I'm at like a 16.
16. All right.
I got 1 foot in a grave and the other on a banana peel. Oh my God. I went to the gym yesterday, Colin.
What do you do there, by the way? I meant to ask you that.
I don't know. Like, honestly, I do things, but I always question, am I doing the right thing? Am I doing this right? Like, I really feel like I'm at the point where I need focus. Like I feel like I need a personal trainer. I think that's really kind of what I need. Because not, like, I can look at things online and be like, okay, I'll emulate that. But then I don't know. And plus, I'm very self-conscious. Like, I don't know.
That's why I don't go to a gym. I cannot work out in front of people.
I'm afraid I'm going to fart.
That's why I don't get massages.
Me neither. Oh, my God, dude. I still haven't told you the fucking Bali stories. Dude, I have a Bali story that is un-fucking believable. Like, it is a story for the fucking ages, but it's a long story. And we
got to save that one.
It is, Colin, it is, to this day, it might be the greatest Damon story.
Better than the Hiroki Goto story?
It's like comparing Road to Kenny Omega to Tokyo Dome Kenny Omega.
Wow. Right?
It is a story that, so I won't, see, now I can't tell the story because it's a long fucking story.
We can't do it today, but keep it in your hat. Keep it in your hat.
But at the same time, what's happening to me, my friend Gabby is having a massage as well. So when we tell the story and we get together over a couple drinks and we're with other friends and we tell the story, it's like I share my – it's like having a split screen with like a rolling clock, right? At the same time, things are happening over in this room and things are happening over in this room, and they're both as equally as horrific. It is an absolute tale beyond tale. Can we do it next week?
We'll do it next week.
Because we teased it really good here. This story is unfucking believable and has, and Colin, exactly. I'll never get another massage again for the rest of my life. It is that scarring to me psychologically.
All right, so stay tuned. Stay tuned for that next week, folks. But getting back to the match at hand here, you know, yes. Yeah, we had T-shirt Kenny Omega. My second point is, man, Beretta, a lot of people sleep on just how good Beretta is.
I'm sleeping. What?
It was a nice shemp there.
That was my Mike Francesa. Some people got that. Some people didn't. Look, yeah. Well, Rocky was on vacation, apparently. They made mention of it three times during the match.
Which Kenny Omega laughed at him for being on vacation. He said, "What a loser."
What a loser. The guy took off for fucking 2 months.
That's what I say about you, Damon, whenever you go on vacation. What a loser.
Yeah, I'm sure. You sit in your fucking room and cry thinking, I wish I had his life. Oh, well, was it me? Actually, you got a new car, which is pretty nice.
I did. Yeah.
New fucking wheels for Colin.
Yeah, new Subaru, folks.
Nice. All right, go. There you go. We got a little pillow. You want to talk a little bit about your Subaru? Talked about your pillow.
Not on this podcast, I'm afraid.
Not on this one? All right, on Colin's car talk. Coming up soon.
That's going to be a separate podcast in the Purocast universe.
Yeah, we'll have our own network. We'll have a pillow talk, right?
Uh-huh.
With Damon. We'll have Colin's car talk, and I don't know.
We'll take calls too.
Massage horrors. Yeah, be like Colin. Be like, all right, you're on the air. What's your question? Hey, yeah, I got a 1927. A 1927. Who has a 1927? You know what? Somebody made fun of me, Colin, and I laughed my ass off on Reddit. Somebody fucking just posted 200,000. Remember I said I made up a number like 200,000, right?
Yeah.
Well, somebody just that's their post, 200,000. I fucking
I did not see that.
Yeah, they deserve all the props. I don't know who that was, but I laughed. I loafed. We were talking about Kenny Omega for a second here, weren't we? And how, you know, it's night off Kenny. And again, I it's not night off. That's rude of me to say. But again, there are two different Kenny Omegas, and he said right out loud that, you know, these shows are, you know, he's not going to give full effort. Now, I question that statement in the sense of, why would I buy a ticket to a show where I know you're going to give a half-hearted performance?
Right.
Why am I waking up at 2 o'clock in the morning to watch you if I know that this is going to be a half-hearted performance? Why? I mean, other than the fact that I'm doing a podcast about your promotion, like, why am I watching this? Right? Like, why would anybody say that? It's kind of like, again, me and Colin had a conversation about, you know, how the NBA is under some flack because, you know, you go to a game and you're resting the top stars, and it's like, well, I paid $200 for these fucking seats. What do you mean LeBron James doesn't feel like playing today? I kind of feel the same way in this, that you're not getting your money's worth. Is that fair to say?
And I understand wanting to, you know, conserve your energy, But at the same time, don't make a mockery of the match that you're in.
Okay, and I agree with that. That's I definitely agree with that. Listen, everybody knows that there are nights where, you know, you're not going to get fucking Tokyo Dome. We understand that. But yeah, it kind of felt like reading that. I was like, okay, all right. So again, don't buy a ticket for this show. Don't pay attention to this show. Like, I don't know. That kind of was weird to me. Yeah, I felt the same way.
Damon, as great as Kenny Omega is, I'm going to go on record and say that he's still no AJ Styles.
Oh, shut your mouth.
You never saw that from AJ.
Oh, you see it fucking every house show. You're out of your mind.
I'm speaking of the goofiness.
You see plenty of goofiness. You mean to tell me with him and fucking Carl Anderson and Doc Gallows? Yeah, see, you saw plenty of goofiness with AJ Styles on these Road 2 shows. But with fucking Maria? The whole fucking, oh my God, it's an attractive woman.
He did that once, I believe.
All right, well, that's once is enough. He's done it plenty of times. He did it once.
Anyway, moving on.
Well, listen, you got silly AJ too. Come on. I know you bow to the altar of AJ Styles, but come on.
Most outstanding wrestler 2016, second year in a row.
Yeah, listen, the only reason he fucking had nine other New Japan guys right on his tail. They split the fucking votes. Come on, Colin.
So Toru Yano picks up the win for his team here.
Nice segue. Toru Yano.
Ishii gives him the Lariato, Yano schoolboys, Chase Owens, and there you go.
There you go. There you have it. I mean, it was a match, guys. I can't say anything more or less. It was okay. It was fine.
You know what's better than okay?
What's that?
There is actually a store, Damon, where you can get all of your Puro merch delivered straight to your mailbox directly from Japan, not some warehouse in Pensacola, Florida. This stuff comes right from Japan. Trading cards, t-shirts, any sort of collectible that your heart desires from our great friends at gaijincollectibles.com. And Damon, you placed a order with them recently, right?
I did. And I'm super excited to get this. It's a sweatshirt, a hoodie, New Japan hoodie. In a huskier size than what you would normally see, right? I had to jump all over it, right? I was like, listen, these things don't grow on trees. I had to jump all over it.
They had it in poncho size for Damon.
They had it in a little larger size than what you would normally find in Japan. But look, I was all over it. And yes, it was Gaijin Collectibles that I placed that order in. And you can too, people, from figures to those trading cards, magazines. Listen, you may not be able to read them, but boy, they look swell, and I got a million of them in my office as well. Posters, event posters, signed, autographed merch. Look, it's one thing to have a T-shirt, and you know where you can get them.
We're not going to name names.
Not going to name names, but you know it as well as I know it. It's not the real deal, right? You like to see the New Japan tags. You like to see it officially come from the stores or the location. Listen, you like to know you got the real thing. And you do when you purchase from Gaijin Collectibles. It's easy. English. The website's easy to navigate. You ever try to buy something from Totokan? Oh, my God. What a nightmare, right? A lot of great stuff. But here's your thing. You got Gaijin Collectibles. You see something you like at Totokan. Hey, it's a buying service as well, so they can pick it up for you. So
you can get stuff right from the New Japan shop, as a matter of fact.
New Japan shop, yep. You want that Los Ingobernables cap, you know, looking pretty sharp. Look good on your hat. Look good on your head. Well, you can get it there. Again, you got your tax returns. You got your extra money in your pocket. You're going to buy. If you're going to buy this stuff and you know you want to buy this stuff, there's only one place to do it. Everybody that I talk to, anybody that I mention Gaijin Collectibles, they talk about the service and how great it is. So again, I highly recommend that you do the same. If you're looking for the Puro merch, It's gaijincollectibles.com.
You know what I would like from Gaijin Collectibles, Damon? That Io Shirai Playboy.
Yeah.
If anybody wants to hook me up with that.
Yeah, you're interested in that? Again, well, listen, they have it all. If you're into the Stardom, they have that. If you're into the All Japan, the Big Japan, not just New Japan stuff.
Just Piro in general.
Yep, but of course, if you you see it on that New Japan shop, you know that it's a one-stop shop from Japan to your door. You can't beat it. The prices are reasonable as well. Quality customer service, you can't go wrong. Listen, enough of us yammering on about it, but...
just go there, gaijincollectibles.com.
Exactly. Thank you, Colin. Thank you very much.
All right, we got a few more matches here to cover, Damon. Hiroshi Tanahashi, Juice Robinson, Manabu Nakanishi, and Ryusuke Taguchi taking on... Oh, and Kushida. I'm leaving out Kushida.
How dare you?
Taking on LIJ, Tetsuya Naito, Sonata, Evil, Hiromu Takahashi, and Bushi.
You know what I like about this match, Colin?
What's that?
I've never seen it before in my life.
Yeah.
So fresh and new. Every fucking show, the LIJ.
Well, look, they've got some matches to build here. They've got a Never Trios match to build. They've got Takahashi versus Kushida to build towards. I'm very excited that we're getting to see that again so soon. One of the best matches of the year from Wrestle Kingdom, in my humble opinion. So yes, that's what this was here for.
And that's what it's been there for since January 4th, it feels like. And even before that. Again, I feel like we don't even need to watch these matches anymore, Colin. We could just slice and dice and just paste in our comments of, hey, we've seen it before. Hey, it was a great match. Give me the non Los Ingobernables side. We had Tanahashi, correct? We had Kushida, correct? Taguchi, right? And who else was on that team, Colin?
Okay, so we have Tanahashi, Juice,
yep.
Nakanishi,
mm-hmm.
Kushida, and Taguchi. Mm-hmm.
And may I ask you, Mr. Miller, who picked up the win?
I believe that one Juice Robinson picked up the win over Seiya Sanada. And
how about that?
You know what that means? Juice Robinson has defeated 2/5 of LIJ now, the hottest heel faction, arguably, in New Japan.
Yeah. I mean, that's crazy to think about, right? And also picking up the big win over Hirooki Goto at New Year Dash. Look, Juice is primed for a nice little run here. He's getting big wins in these tag matches and even elsewhere. So you would think, look, let's cut to the chase. Right now, Juice
Owens.
Isn't what
he said.
Oh, Chase Owens.
You got it.
You stopped me in my tracks on that one. Juice is an upper mid Carter at this point.
Yeah, I'd say so.
He's an upper mid Carter. I mean, to get a win in this match over Sonata, of all people, which I thought was kind of an odd choice.
That really surprised me, to be honest with you. I mean, you know, you could have had him get the win on Bushi again. You could have had him get the win even on Evil. That would have surprised me less than the Sonata pin.
Why? Why you say that?
I don't know. In my eyes, and maybe this is just strictly my eyes, I see Sonata as just a little bit higher on the LIJ pecking order than Evil.
In your eyes, you see Sonata. Your eyes. You're sitting there with a big boombox. Come on. Sitting outside Naito's room. In your trench coat. I think we all were kind of surprised in the sense of in our eyes, we kind of see bigger and brighter things for Sonata and for him to take the fall. And again, maybe this is just us projecting it on him at this point, but yeah, it was weird. You saw the finish. What does he call that? The
pulp friction.
Yeah, you see that hit, and
essentially
you're like, well,
the unprettier.
Yeah, you see that, and you're like, oh, that's a weird spot right there, because he's got a kick, and he didn't kick out. Right? It was like, what?
He was struggling, though. I do like that little touch that they added, if you will. So when Juice hit the pulp friction on Sonata, you can see, you know, Sonata wasn't dead. He was really, you know, trying, struggling to kick out. So, you know, it wasn't like, you know, Juice just obliterated him.
Let me ask you this, because I felt this way. And again, it wasn't, so I don't want to mislead anyone, but it looked like, I don't know, maybe it was just the shock of it actually happening, but it looked like it was like a fucked up finish. Like,
yeah.
But again, it's Juice's finish, right? It's Juice's finisher. So, it makes all the sense in the world that that's the way that they were going, but it did look like it was a weird pinfall, right, to me. It felt like there was supposed to be a kick out there, and again, maybe I'm just projecting it once again to say that why would Sonata take this fall? But Juice gets the big win. That was a surprising element to this match that made it a little bit stronger for me.
I fully expected Sonata to kick out, actually.
I did too. And I don't want to say it was anticlimactic, but it was just like, I was like, what?
It was kind of like, did that just happen?
Right, that's what I'm saying. It was like, my thought process was, wow, that's a real weird thing to have happen. Juice hit his finisher. Well, you know, he's going to kick out, and he didn't kick out. Right, that's really my reaction to it. It was wow. We sit here and we talk about finishers being protected, and of course he's going to kick, and he didn't kick out. Right, and it was like, well, okay, then. All right, weird. So yeah, good for Juice. And again, that leads me to, he's got to be in G1. Juice is in G1.
He has to be.
Has to be in G1.
And we arrive at our main event of the evening, Kazuchika Okada and Yoshihashi taking on Katsuyori Shibata and Yuji Nagata. Damon, I am very excited for this Okada and Shibata match, because I feel like there is a divide among the New Japan fans. You know, you've got half the people who are with Okada, who is the man, you know, he's the guy in New Japan at this point. And then you have another half, including yours truly, who just wants to see Shibata just kick this pretty boy's teeth right down his throat.
Wow, that's very, very violent, Colin. Jeez.
Well, Shibata's all about the violence, Damon. And
he is.
He's going to bring it at Genesis.
Give me your feelings. Again, I think this match was okay. I don't think this match was great. You liked it more than I did.
I thought it was the best match of the night. I thought it was very good. And not even just Okada and Shibata.
I'm not going to tell you I liked it. I'm not going to tell you I hated it. I'm not going to tell you that I thought it was okay. I'm going to rewatch it. How about that?
Okay.
Because there might be other elements in me enjoying this match. So I'm going to leave it up to you. So this is all your feelings on this match.
And don't dismiss, when you rewatch this match, you know, okay, yeah. Okada and Shibata's interactions were great, but don't dismiss Yoshihashi and Yuji Nagata either. Mm-hmm. I mean, both these guys worked really well together, and there was one moment in particular in this match that I loved when Yuji Nagata was about to get Yoshihashi in that armbar, and Okada broke it up, and there was just a chorus of boos once Okada broke that up.
Yeah, I do remember that. It's funny how Corkin does that, though. They like to root for the underdog, and they like to see the underdog do well. And then, you know, I think people view Shibata as the underdog in this, right? I think it's fair to say.
They do, and there is that, like I said, there's half of the audience who just, you know, wants to see Shibata take Okada to school.
Give me a scale of 1 to 10.
My excitement level?
No. Shibata wins this belt.
8.
Really?
Damon, there's something in the air. I can't quite put my finger on it. There's something in the air. I think we might be looking at a title change at Genesis.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to do it with Shibata, you know, one of the original Three Musketeers, a guy who was originally positioned to be, you know, one of the big stars in the company. I mean, now's the time. now is the time to pull the trigger on him. I mean, even if he has a run.
Why is now the time?
I don't know if you feel the same way about Shibata right now as I do, but he is as hot as he's ever going to get. Not just among the Japanese audience in Korakuen, but worldwide. I feel like Shibata is just, there's a buzz surrounding him right now.
I need some fucking medication. I don't see it. I don't feel it.
I think a lot of it has to do with his appearances at Rev Pro.
In front of 2,000 people.
Right, in front of 2,000 people, but, you know, in front of a worldwide audience who are watching these matches.
More than Okada?
Wait, you're saying that... Are you asking me if Okada... Or if Shibata has... What's the question here, Damon?
So you're saying let's have Okada lose this title to Shibata, correct? And you're saying that right now the reason being is because Shibata has a buzz and a hotness and a global feeling of positivity.
I could be way off on that, by the way. If the folks who are listening to this fine podcast also feel what I'm feeling, you know, tweet us, Facebook us. But yeah, I get this feeling surrounding Shibata that he's ready. He's just inches away from, you know, grabbing that title and, you know, positioning himself as one of the big dogs in New Japan.
I'm going to be truthful. I don't see that at all, man.
Okay.
I think this is they're setting him up to be a nice challenge. I think that this is a very positive direction that he's in. Don't get me wrong. I think that he, match quality wise, he's always going to be one of those top guys. Do you like, to me, it's Shibata's not even close to an Omega.
As far as what?
Positioning on a card, positioning within the promotion.
Currently, Shibata, from my perspective, he has a lot more buzz than Omega does right now.
Really?
What's Kenny Omega doing? He's wrestling, you know, six-man tags in his t-shirt, just coming out, looking like he doesn't even want to be there.
In this little pocket of time, yeah, from, you know, maybe after Wrestle Kingdom, maybe
he cooled down a lot after Wrestle Kingdom.
Colin, let me tell you something.
Let me tell you something, brother.
Let me tell you something, brother. There's Omega. There's Naito. There's Okada.
And there's Tanahashi.
And then there's everyone else. Do you really think that Shibata is in that that they're grooming him to be that level?
Shibata
and here's the thing, Shibata. Okay, so let's say Shibata wins at Sakura. When's Sakura? When are we? A couple weeks? 2 weeks?
Sakura, right? Is April the 9th.
Okay. So he wins the title, in your eyes.
I'm not saying I don't think he's going to, but wouldn't it be nice if he won and had, even if it was a Naito reign? Remember Naito's little reign that he had last year?
Okay. But so does he lose it before the summer?
Maybe.
We're talking about a month.
Think about this. Would you agree with this sentiment that Shibata is particularly popular among the English-speaking North American audience?
Yeah,
he's
sure.
One of the favorites, right?
I mean, listen, I don't think that there's anybody. I can't say that there's anybody, but if there's the majority of the people that listen to this show, let's put it that way. I think it's a safe statement that enjoy watching Shibata in the ring. I don't think there's any question about that, and I'm one of those people. Colin, I like the fact that the IWGP Heavyweight Championship goes to a select few, right? I love that fact, that only a handful of people can get to that level.
Name any other company that, you know, treats their main title like that.
or their secondary title, to be quite honest.
Sure.
I don't see it at this point. Well, I just don't.
Where I was going with this was, since Katsuyori Shibata is so popular with the North American audience in particular, imagine him going into these G1 special shows.
No, you
don't want to see that?
Listen, I don't have a problem with it, but I just don't see... I guess I do have a problem with it.
I don't see it either, truth be told, but wouldn't it be something? Wouldn't it be something?
I think you go into that either with Okada with the championship or Omega. Right? Come on. Shibata does not walk into that building. Shibata does not walk into Long Beach as IWGP heavyweight champion.
How do you feel about this? I'm going to lay out a scenario for you.
With the chitter chat with Access TV.
Right. Yeah. With Access TV potentially broadcasting this live, I'm going
to
let me add
a log to that fire, if you don't mind, Colin. While we're here,
okay. You've got plenty of logs.
what are you saying?
I don't even know what that means. Anyway,
you're talking about poop, aren't you? You were talking about
maybe.
Poop. All right. What time do you know what time these shows start, Colin? And by the way, I'll be there. Did you know that, Colin?
Of course you will.
Do you know
Scrooge
I'm going to be there?
Scrooge McDonald.
What do you mean Scrooge McDonald?
Nothing. Go ahead.
I've dropped money.
We know.
I'm going to say it a thousand times.
The upper 1/10 of 1%. Anyway, you'll be there. You'll be there.
Right. I will be there representing the New Japan Purecast while you're out in Orlando watching that fucking hilarity. All right.
I didn't spend any money on it.
That's true. I spent a lot of money. All right. What time do these shows start? Do you have any idea, Colin? Let me tell you what
6
time.
6 p.m.?
5 o'clock.
Okay, 5 o'clock. I wasn't off.
On the West Coast. What time is that here?
That would be 8 o'clock here.
Oh, interesting. 8 o'clock, East Coast, New York. I'm just saying.
Prime time.
Prime time, just saying. Just saying. On a Saturday night? Like, what event? Like, I'm a sports guy, right? I watch a lot of West Coast games.
You
right?
are. That's your background. That's your wheelhouse.
Yeah. What they start 10 o'clock East Coast, right? 10:30 East Coast, right? That's prime time for the West Coast. 7 o'clock, 7:30, right? That's what time a normal event would start on the West Coast, right? We're going 5 o'clock. I'm just saying. Seemed a little weird, doesn't it?
No. No, what do you mean it seems a little weird?
Well, it seems a little weird that you're going to be on the West Coast and start an event at 5 o'clock unless the idea was, well, something else is contributing to the fact that we're starting at this weird time of 5 o'clock in the fucking afternoon on a Saturday night.
Because it's going to be live on Access TV.
Ah, I didn't say that. You said that. I didn't say that. Again, I don't know anything. I don't know if that's true or not, but it does seem...
I'm saying it happens.
You're saying it's happening?
100%.
Colin Miller has said that it's happening, guys. I can't wait to hear the fucking tweets on this one. The fucking backlash. No, again, we don't know dick all, but it does seem weird, doesn't it? All right, where were we?
Let me lay out a brief scenario for you here.
All right, lay it out.
Let's say Shibata wins. He defeats Okada at Genesis, becomes the IWGP Heavyweight Champion, and then at these G1 specials, we see Shibata versus Kenny Omega. Kenny Omega defeats Shibata, gains the IWGP Heavyweight title. Then we head into the G1 climax. Okada becomes a 3-time G1 winner, and then... what you wanted to see, Damon, right from the get-go, Omega versus Shibata 2 with the...
Omega versus Shibata 2.
Or excuse me. Omega versus Okada 2. With the
shoe,
on the other hand, at the Tokyo Dome, Wrestle Kingdom 12. How about that?
Colin, I'm gonna admit something to you here. Pants are down.
That's what I thought.
Pants are violently down.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, I like that little scenario, Colin. I like that little fantasy booking you got there. But here's the thing too. People were like, "Well, you don't want to waste You don't want to waste Okada and Omega at these G1 special shows in Long Beach. And I say, look, you're never going to have an audience like this, a North American audience like this, nor has New Japan ever had the opportunity to have an audience like this on a show like this. Now, listen, I'm thrilled with the idea of having a IWGP heavyweight title match on any of these shows because, trust me, for 2 or 3 years, all I've gotten were mixed multi-man tags and all kinds of crazy horse shit with these Ring of Honor shows. So, no, the idea of having a Shibata Omega match, I'd be thrilled with that.
And I'm telling you, Shibata versus Omega for the title, that is a match that is right up the North American fans' alley. Because Shibata is a favorite among the English-speaking audience. He really is. He has this strong cult following.
I'll give you that. I'll absolutely give you that. I will concede all of those points to you. Yes. I'm still struggling to give you the commitment to Shibata winning this title, to be honest with you. I am struggling with that a little bit.
And I understand that.
But what you have mapped out is sexy to me. It is appealing, and if it does work out that way, I would have zero, and I emphasize zero issues, and pants would officially be down. You would get an official pants down moment. And also, Colin, let's keep in mind with these May and the Philly show, the New York show, and of course I will be at both of those shows while you'll be rocking out to Metallica.
Yes, I will be at Metallica.
Yes, I will be supporting New Japan Pro Wrestling. These shows
and a sinking ship. Just but, saying,
Colin with the fucking boots, wowzers! Woo, woo.
We'll get to that in a minute.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a minute. Colin, you made me fucking guffaw on that one. I think this is where we give out the we pull a Wrestling Observer and finally give out the awards for Wrestle of the Year, right? We said we were going to do that. I'll have the award, and I'll be able to, if in fact Señor Naito is there, we'll hand out the award there. We'll have an award, so we'll live up to our promises there as well. All right. So that's the Road 2 show. Overall, I thought it was a decent show. It was a Road 2 show good. I still think that tag match was tremendous. Colin is lukewarm at best on it.
We saw a young lion get beat up.
Match. We saw more than that, you negative Nelly. Negative Colin, you. All right. What else are we talking about here? We're talking about Honma, not the pressing news. What else we got? What else we got on the docket?
Why don't we get right into this this ROH discussion, since I alluded to it moments ago. Well, look, it's no secret by now. The WWE, the Evil Empire, has been in talks since apparently last August to purchase Ring of Honor Wrestling from Sinclair.
Well, again, I think it's come to light a little bit more. And again, Ring of Honor is spinning it as, hey, you know what? They just wanted the rights to our video catalog because 98% of the talent that's on the roster now came through our rings. And the WWE would like to have some rights to those footage. And again, to me, it's a little weird because look, WWE has sent out feelers to every single fucking promotion under the sun for their back catalog, right? And I would go so far as to say that they even reached out to New Japan at one point for access to their back catalog.
They did.
The idea that WWE would do this is not strange and not odd at all. The problem comes in the sense of, one, I don't know what they would need they're not going to make any money off the footage, right? Like, who's buying DVDs, right? So, you know, it's not like this were 10 years ago where DVD sales were a factor. Who the fuck's buying
DVDs? Working for PWG.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're the lone entity at this point.
They're a special case, though.
They are. Listen, we joke about it, but they really are a special case. They make money doing it. That's their business model. I can't think of another promotion that has more buzz, you know, when those shows come and then they sell out and, you know, they are what they are. So they got that cornered. So I don't know what they would need the footage for in the sense of DVD sales. The network, yeah, they could have it on there. Or let me take that. They could have the footage but never upload it, right? Like they have everybody else's footage. It feels like there's countless piles and piles and piles of footage that hasn't been uploaded to their award-winning network.
Can we cut to the chase here?
Go ahead.
They want a monopoly. They want to buy out the competition. They have become... Remember those old...
Maybe they've become. They've always been this.
Well, yeah, they've always been that. But do you remember those old skits they did back in like 96? The billionaire Ted skits.
Yeah.
Where they'd have, the guy portraying Ted Turner, just talking about how he's going to just buy everybody out. And they've become that parody, basically.
Colin,
they're billionaire Ted.
Yeah, 1984. I mean, they're swiping up everybody.
Right.
You know, Junkyard Dog was a star in Mid-South.
Yep.
Gone. You know, Duggan, gone. Hogan himself, you know, in AWA. And of course, you know, listen, there's plenty of other reasonings. You know, Vern really didn't know what he had, or, you know, wouldn't recognize what he had and all that. And Okerlund, you know, it's you name it. They just, you know, that's what the WWE did. And that's what they've always have done.
Do you think that New Japan, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you there, but, do you think that New Japan has been aware of this since the talk started last summer?
I think a lot of people knew about rumblings, right? I think that it just kind of got to a point where you could not ignore it any further. From what I understand, you know, people knew about it for, you know, quite a while. I think New Japan, in a sense, was a little bit wise in seeing the tea leaves and reading the tea leaves and thinking, okay, you know, I mean, when they talked about their network, New Japan, and they talked about the expansion into United States and these Long Beach shows, you know, one of the underlying themes was, you know, TV rights and the way the business is turning and the fact that, you know, WWE reached out and wanted to put their guys on their network to make them stars, to then swipe them, right? Again, that was the you know, do you remember back in the day, Colin, All American Wrestling was on Sundays on USA Network, right? Before, you know, in the days of primetime wrestling, before, you know, Raw, you know, Tuesday nights was primetime wrestling, or Monday nights was primetime wrestling on USA, TNT, you know. So All American Wrestling was on Sunday, and it would be like a mix mash of all the different syndicated shows and a couple house shows and a whole bunch of, you know, was that Sunday afternoons, so, like noon. Well, the first couple shows, Vince would show like the Von Erichs, you know, in World Class, and or like Continental, or, you know, other territories. And the reason he did that was he was getting the WWE audience.
Dude, he wanted to familiarize everyone,
yeah, exactly,
with the talent that's coming in.
I'm gonna steal, right. I mean, and the dopey promoters were like, oh, go ahead.
This is great.
Them. Yeah, I'm going to get exposure. And then, what do you mean you're leaving? So, again, this is nothing new. The problem is, and again, this is a problem that I've had before, is that it costs people's jobs if, in fact, an actual buyout occurs, right? You know, it's just another avenue that guys lose work and office people and, you know, promotion staff and stuff like that. So that's disheartening.
It's kind of funny, too, how a lot of people, you know, I don't want to name names, but, you know, they've been kind of they've jumped off the ship, so to speak. And it makes you wonder, huh. That have they been hearing these rumblings as well, and is that why they up and left?
I think there's a lot of reasons for it. I mean, you know, I think money, I think opportunity, I think this might have an impact on that. Yeah, I mean, there's lots of people that have left in just – I mean, we joked about it, but you look at that Honor Rising show from 2 years ago as opposed to the one that just passed and the talent that no longer is on that Ring of Honor roster. I mean, you know, you're going from Roddy Strong and Kyle O'Reilly to Punisher Martinez. Just saying, right? Yeah, it's concerning. I don't – but truth be told, I don't think – like, what value – and I don't know the whole Sinclair Broadcasting angle of it, but from a New Japan perspective, like they're going out and doing their own thing, and they're testing the waters with these Long Beach shows, which I would be shocked if they don't sell out rather quickly.
They will.
There's a lot of buzz, right? There's a lot. Listen, come April 1st at 11 o'clock, guess whose fat fingers are going to be sitting by their computer hitting refresh 1,000 times? Me. Right, and there's a lot of people like me, maybe not as fat, but there's a lot of people like me that are going to be doing the same thing. So from a New Japan perspective, they saw the tea leaves, they read the tea leaves, they saw what was happening. Yeah, I think they were smart to kind of say, okay, let's test the waters on our own.
I want to say this, and mind you, I don't know anything, but if you have enjoyed these Ring of Honor War of the Worlds shows that have been going on for the past couple of years, if you've been a fan of them and you've been enjoying them, definitely go see them this spring.
Yeah, you might not see them again.
Go see them. No, I'm saying you're not going to see them again.
Yeah. Yeah, it sucks. I mean, I would be surprised if that's the case. We said it that we'd be surprised to see if the relationship continue on the next year. Man, I would be somewhat surprised if Ring of Honor and New Japan had a relationship moving on to 2018. I would be surprised.
I would be shocked. Mm. But it makes you wonder. Like, no, go ahead.
No, I was about to say I like those that Brooklyn Outdoor show. That's always a fun time. That'd suck.
It's a shame.
Yeah, but you know, listen. Again, maybe this is. All right, I'm going to go out. Well, no, I'm not going to say it because I don't believe it. But I will say this as I self-edit myself,
saves me some work.
There you go. Yeah, cut that out. Colin. It was at the 1 hour, 50 minute mark
every week, folks, every week. If you only knew,
like I said, if people saw those archives, one day we'll release the archives, you know, we'll have the bonus footage, the director's cut. Oh, those tapes would be great.
The NSA already has them anyway.
They sure do, from what I'm reading. New Japan going out on their own is a good thing, I think, for fans of New Japan Pro Wrestling. In that same breath, I find Ring of Honor to be very a very good option for pro wrestling fans to watch quality pro wrestling. And I hope and pray that somehow they survived the year. I'll leave it at that.
Well, on that note, Damon, I'm taking a look at the calendar here, and
yeah,
on April 4th, we have another Road to Sakura Genesis show from Corkin Hall. That is on a Tuesday. That's going to be on NJPW World, and then on the 9th.
Corkin Hall? Corkin Hall, really?
Yep, that's what it says on the calendar. April 4th, Corkin Hall, Road to Sakura Genesis, live on NJPW World. Well, and then
they're going to burn out Tokyo.
And finally, finally on the 9th, live from Sumo Hall, Sakura Genesis itself. I just wanted to briefly go over at least the three main matches here. And you want to know what match that I'm actually most excited about?
What you got?
Hirooki Goto versus Zack Sabre Jr., because this is what I have been clamoring for all along. You know, if you have been a frequent listener of this podcast, I've been saying I really want the NEVER title to get back to its genesis, no pun intended. And this is a perfect example of the kind of matches that we should be seeing. On one side, you've got the big brawler, Hirooki Goto, the ass kicker, and he is going up against basically a technical junior heavyweight, Zack Sabre Jr. I mean, that is an interesting match to me. More interesting than anything else on this card. And I understand that Zack Sabre Jr., you know, that World of Sport style may not be everyone's cup of tea, but man, this This is just a very interesting match to me. Goto versus Zack Sabre Jr. And I'll tell you what, I think Zack Sabre Jr. is going to take the title, and he's running out of room on that waist of his for belts.
Yeah, he's going to need like a nipple harness. he's going to have two medallions off his nipple. It's going to be like the old Mid-South TV medallion. Me too. That's what I'll say to that, Colin. Me too. There is a noticeable size difference, but I've said it before and I'll say it again. I'm a big fan of that. I'm a big fan of the style clashes, and I don't mean the you know what and the you know where.
Ding, ding.
I like the fact that you should have rang that fucking bell 20 minutes ago. Look, I like this. I like this idea of a different style facing each other, and I think it's going to be a good match. I think it's going to be a great match. What else is on this show? Give me, obviously Shibata. And Okada. What else we got?
Yep, Shibata and Okada, a Sumo Hall caliber main event, if I don't say so myself. Then the rematch from Wrestle Kingdom, Kushida versus Hiromu Takahashi. What do you think the chances are of Kushida regaining the belt?
Probably a little bit more than 50%.
I want to see Takahashi go into Best of Super Juniors as the champion.
I'd like to see that too. I would have zero issue with him. To me, the potential matchups with Takahashi, and trust me, I love Kushida. You know that as much as anybody.
He's one of your favorites.
He is one of my
He's
favorites.
Adorable.
Without question. The idea of certain matchups intrigue me much more than with Kushida in that place. So a Ricochet versus Takahashi.
Ooh.
That sounds really good.
Pants down,
an Osprey, I don't know,
a Volador Jr. versus Takahashi. Volador,
that's a great. Those type of matches to me are much more intriguing than Kushida, only because probably I've seen them already, right? But the idea of seeing Takahashi in that role with his balls to the wall style,
he has balls that drop from the ceiling.
That's right. Good point, Colin. Nice testicle humor you have there. I would like to see. I would have no problem with Takahashi holding on to that title as long as he can. But I think the odds, I'd say, are greater than 50%. Slightly above half that we see Kushida win the title back.
I mean, it goes without saying it's going to be a great match.
Yeah, I think this entire show looks really, really fucking strong, dude. I think this is a real strong show.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, of course, we've got the heavyweight title tag match. We've got Tenkozy versus War Machine,
which I think will be good. Yep.
We've got the junior tag titles, Chato and Ghetto versus Kanemaru and Taichi, which probably won't be very good.
Look, I think it'll be okay. Unfortunately, none of the guys in that ring do anything for me. So it's going to be an uphill battle for them to win me over because, truth be told, Taichi, you want a hot take?
Sure.
You want a hot take, Colin?
I love hot take Damon.
The boner. Nowhere to be found.
The boner has left the building, from what I've heard.
Yeah, from the boner, no longer in the running. I think you're looking at the 2017 PureCast least favorite wrestler would be in that ring.
You might be onto something, my friend.
I think we got ourselves a new winner for a year end award. So no, I can't say I'm excited for that match.
And unfortunately, you want to hear about another match that's on this card here?
Sure.
We've got the return of the Yano and Ishii connection.
Really?
That's what I'm calling them. Taking on, get a load of this tag team, Bad Luck Fale and Kenny Omega.
Well, I mean, listen, we know that's a setup for something, right? That match screams Kenny Omega winning, and then Kenny Omega hopping in the ring at the end of a show with a microphone in his hand making a challenge.
Maybe Kenny Omega hitting the one-winged angel on Ishii?
Something along those lines. I mean, that screams that, doesn't it? Doesn't it? Come on. That's called set up something. Right? That's called set up something later on in the show.
Omega getting in the ring and having a stare down with Shibata.
Colin, might be.
And laying out the challenge for
that. And please don't take that side the wrong way. That side was not, that's not like fucking, you know, Tai Chi winning the title, right?
Maybe that'll happen. Maybe that's your G1 climax winner this year.
I mean, Colin, I would literally, that would be the end of the Purecast for sure. I wouldn't be able to stomach it. I think that's what we're seeing there. I think the handwriting's on the wall. And I would have no problem with that. That would be not even no problem with that. Again, Colin, I don't know how I can say it. Pants would be down.
Yeah, so lots to look forward to coming up on April 9th, Sakura Genesis. It's looking like a tasty card, to say the least.
Yep, speaking of tasty card, I'm fucking starving. Are we done with this show or what?
Yeah, what do you say we go home? So,
all right, listen, before we go home, can I make one, and again, I hate to end on a somber note, but it is a New Japan tie-in, so I think we need to acknowledge what sad news, Colin. Jim Ross's wife, who was in that crazy accident, unfortunately lost her battle and had passed away. And I can't think of anything more. Like, I couldn't even read the news. I couldn't even look at the picture of them two together.
I'll be honest with you. I cried when I saw the tweet, just because I felt
Colin,
so damn bad for him. I mean, anybody being in a situation like that, so horrific. And the thing that amazes me is that JR is going about his business as usual. I mean, God, if I was in a situation like that, I wouldn't. I don't know how I could even work.
Yeah, I don't think I don't know. I can't joke. I can't make light. I can't try to find the humor in that. There is no humor in that situation. So, JR, listen, I don't know if you would ever hear our dumb podcast, but if you do, and if anybody here would like to pass along word, please let him know that two dopes that do a New Japan podcast are thinking of him, and you are a strong, strong gentleman. And I hope that in some strange way you find even more strength to get through this absolutely terrible situation. We feel for you. Our hearts go out to you. And be strong, my man, because we're all thinking of you. And that's that.
So thoughts and prayers going out to good old JR and his family.
Yep. All right. So let's wrap it up, Colin.
Alrighty. So on a somber note, we just want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in to each brand new episode, which you can listen to as soon as they are uploaded on NewJapanPurocast.com, your one-stop shop for all things Purocast. Links to all social media, Facebook, Twitter, Stitcher, iTunes, the whole bit, NewJapanPurocast.com. You can also listen to us on the Great Voices of Wrestling podcasting network. We're usually up there each and every Monday afternoon, VoicesOfWrestling.com. And, of course, for all of your Puderesu merchandise needs, please visit GaijinCollectibles.com. Damon, any final thoughts?
Final thoughts. Well, we got a big show coming up next week. Again, I'll do the Bali reveal. I'll try to make the story short and brief as possible, but it is a doozy. And we have a big wrestling show coming up. And thank you for listening. Support Gaijin Collectibles. And we'll tweet out an email address so that you can share your thoughts for Honma, who's obviously going through a rough time as well. So again, rough times all around. But through the love of pro wrestling, we shall overcome.
So, on that note, for Damon McDonald, my name is Colin Miller. We'll catch you guys next week.